This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday. And how about that? It's going to be a fun night on a Tuesday. Yeah, we're going to do a big email roundup tonight. Billionaire donors are cutting off the Democrat Party. Pride parades continue to lack corporate funding. People are getting fired at CNN. All that and so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. I'm going to open up the show here in just a second, talking about how why Trump was so angry that he dropped an F-bomb today. I've never heard an American president do that. Not saying I'm cheering about it, but what in the world would make him so angry he did that? We'll talk about all that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Not going to be a lot of Israel-Iran talk tonight. We're going to talk more Trump foreign policy, emails, other stuff. So something funny happened last night before the show. I think like right before the show, Trump announces on social media, True Social, announces that a ceasefire has been agreed upon between Israel and Iran. Some people were wondering why I didn't talk about it a lot in the first hour or the second hour. I think maybe I mentioned it in the third, but honestly, I wasn't even really going to talk about it then. We actually had people sending us messages. Why aren't you talking about the ceasefire? Because they kept shooting rockets at each other for hours afterwards. This is why I tell you over and over and over again, but apparently I need to say it again loud and clear so everyone is crystal clear. I am not a breaking news journalist. I do not work for NBC. I'm not an anchor. I'm not a field reporter. I am not going to report live from the latest mass shooting, jet crash, the latest war thing. You know why? Because it's all a bunch of garbage and lies until we have time to digest it. Why didn't I talk? Well, there's been a ceasefire. You should talk about it. Yeah, and then a bunch of people died afterwards. And Donald Trump was frustrated. Why would I talk about a tweet when everybody lies? And that brings us to the actual point of this. I'm sure you've already heard it. Don't worry, we beep it out. As always, the show will be family friendly. What in the world made Donald Trump so angry that he dropped an F-bomb loudly and clearly on camera? This is a man, keep in mind, very much in control of what he says to a camera because he's been talking to cameras his entire life. He gets in front of a reporter, talks about the ceasefire that wasn't one, surprise, surprise, and this is what he said.
Do you believe that Iran is still committed to the ceasefire?
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it too.
Are you questioning if Israel is committed?
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Wow. Donald Trump upset. Okay. We have the report. Trump called Netanyahu and raised his voice loudly. That's the reporting. Okay. You know what that reminded me of? That clip of Trump just now? Remember when Trump was really, really deep into the ceasefire negotiations between Russia and Ukraine? And it seemed like, we never know for sure, but it seemed like from afar that they were getting really close. And then Ukraine tried to assassinate Putin. That's how war goes. I'm not blaming anybody, but they tried to assassinate Putin in the middle of these negotiations. And then Putin turned around and starts launching things into Ukrainian cities. Donald Trump, who was trying to broker this peace, remember, it sounded almost identical to me, ran to the cameras and said this.
Yeah, I'll give you an update. I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all.
Okay. I ever tell you about the biggest bar fight I ever got in my life? We were in Riverside, California. We were in the Marine Corps still. We had a long weekend. And we had another Marine who I didn't know. He was a friend of a friend who we met up with at his apartment. And we were going to go out and just be dumb young Marines. And this friend of a friend who I didn't know, I'm not going to name him, big dude, tough as nails, big mixed martial artist guy, and a very violent person. He had already done a tour and he was back and he was, you know, really having some PTSD problems, but he just wanted to hurt somebody. And he told us before we went out, he said, yeah, I'm going to kick somebody's rear end tonight. He didn't use those exact words, but yeah, I'm going out tonight and I'm getting in a fight. Okay. Well, that stuff we've done before. All right. And I remember we go out to this country bar and we're having a blast and we're running around talking to people, hitting on girls, you know, stuff young, dumb men do, whatever. That's what we do. And I remember the guy who wanted to get in a fight, he squares off with another guy at the bar. And the other guy at the bar, I didn't hear what sparked it, so I don't want to tell you I did. The other guy at the bar was so obviously not interested in a fight. I don't even want to say scared. Maybe there was a lot of that in there, but he was just completely confused why this guy was squaring off with him, and he was doing everything in his power to defuse the situation. Hey man, I didn't mean anything by it, dude. Let's just have a drink. Hey man, and I remember looking at this and feeling so bad for that guy, because that guy didn't realize that the person he was squaring off with at the bar did not share his view of how he wanted the night to go at all. That guy wanted to have a couple drinks, talk to some pretty girls, see where the night goes. My buddy wanted to hit somebody hard. They had a completely different view of where they wanted the night to go. And so his efforts at de-escalation, they failed. I'll just put it that way. They were not successful. Ends up of chairs being thrown. It was like something out of a freaking movie. You've never seen anything like it in your life. I feel Donald Trump's frustration. I felt it at the camera today. I felt it when he was discussing Putin, Ukraine, Putin, Zelensky, all these things. I feel it right now. Trump wants peace. Has always been that guy. Does not like war. And for a variety of reasons, doesn't want people dying, but he's always thought war is stupid. It's not profitable. This costs everybody money. Russia, Ukraine, why are you fighting? We could be making money together. Look at all these resources. Look at all this. We could have a great deal and make money. What are we doing? We can get along here. Israel, Iran, for Trump, wants to be a peacemaker and deserves all the credit in the world for striving to be a peacemaker. Why don't you? We had a ceasefire. I called for a ceasefire. And you start immediately when I call for a ceasefire, I give you a time frame and you use that time frame to kill as many people on the other side as possible. I don't understand. You can hear the frustration in his voice.
Do you believe that Iran is still committed to peace?
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it too.
Are you questioning
Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I've never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours.
This is why I don't update you with every new tweet, every new announcement. There's a ceasefire. The ceasefire's off. A missile's been launched. Not just because I'm not a journalist. Not just because I don't do breaking news. But because all these situations on the planet are complicated. And oftentimes we are dealing with things that we don't fully grasp and understand. And this is not me, actually. This is not me at all calling Donald Trump naive. But he looks at Russians killing Ukrainians, Ukrainians killing Russians, and he thinks the whole thing is sad and absurd and not profitable. So why don't we just stop? Well, guess what? Russians love killing Ukrainians. Ukrainians, they like killing Russians. Israel, Iran, I don't understand. There's resources and soil. It's, why don't you guys just get along? But maybe Iran likes killing Israelis. They enjoy it. Maybe Israel, after so many years of threats and terrorist attacks, maybe they don't want to stop. Maybe they don't want a deal. We'll finish up on this, then I'm moving on because I'm done talking about this whole thing. Before we move on to anything else, let's get our minds ready for a wild world, because it is going to remain wild. Now, today it's this, tomorrow it'll be something else, next day it's something else. There's always something new, isn't there? So don't you want to feel strong and energized, good mood? Don't you want your mind to feel like it felt when you were 20 years old? You know, want to know why it hasn't? Why it's kind of gone away? Your testosterone levels dropped. Did you know testosterone's about your mind? That's what it's about. Did you know you need it for logical thinking? That's real. Do you know you can get it boosted naturally? Chalk. C-H-O-Q. Go get some natural herbal supplements from Chalk. I take a male vitality stack every single day. It has changed my life. Over 3 years I've been taking it. I love these guys. They have the highest quality I've ever seen, and they're like us. They're like you. They're like me. They're anti-communists. Call them. Text them. 50-CHALK-3000. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at JesseKellyDC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email us, and you should, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We are going to dig into a bunch of those tonight. I applaud Donald Trump for trying to bring peace to different parts of the world that are fighting. Russia, Ukraine, Israel, Iran. But remember, what was it, yesterday when I said this? The Trump administration wants to be done. Show up, drop the kids off at the pool, meaning drop a couple bunker buster bombs, go home, and call it a day. That's not what Israel wants. That's not what the former leader of Iran wants, well, his son. There are a lot of people who don't want peace, and for people who desire peace, it's hard for them from the outside looking in to understand why some people don't. I'll tell you what, I had a conversation with Buck Sexton. You obviously know Buck Sexton. You know we're buddies. Off air, we are buddies. And we were discussing this very thing about Trump's frustration with all these different entities. It's not just Iran and Israel and Russia and Ukraine. And all kinds of different entities want to fight. They want war. And Buck relayed this little story to me that he was speaking with somebody. I think this was Iraq, if I remember right. But, you know, these are Sunni, Shiite, different Muslim sects and all this kind of stuff. And the offer was essentially made, hey, why don't you guys stop killing each other? You live in abject poverty. It's a terrible, terrible poverty. Why don't you stop killing each other and you can have things like running water and paved roads and better schools, and all you have to do is stop killing each other? And the guy told him point blank, right in his face, no, I want to keep killing them. These old grudges. If you're in Israel, how long have you lived with the threat of some sort of an Iranian attack? Maybe it's some guy with a knife at a checkpoint. Maybe October 7th, that's Hamas, right? Who backs Hamas? Maybe all the stuff Hezbollah's done. If you live in Israel, if you're an Israeli, that's been your entire existence. And here you are, in your mind, you've been presented with the ultimate opportunity to take out this regime that has attacked you your entire life. Why would they want to stop? Now, you know why Benjamin Netanyahu launched everything he possibly could at the last possible minute. Why they were still killing each other when I went to bed last night. Ceasefire had been announced like 6 hours earlier. They were still dropping bombs. If you're in Iran, they have declared themselves, well, they see themselves as the new leader of the Islamic world and as the tip of the jihadist spear. And because that's how they see themselves and because that's how they've sold themselves in every way they possibly can, they have tried to kill as many Israelis as humanly possible for as long as I've been alive. For as long as I've been alive. Now we look at their situation. You've lost all your military leadership. Your economy's hurting. You now have your nuclear facilities have been bombed. Surely you're down and out, and surely you're done with this whole thing. Why not make a deal? Why not sign on the dotted line? Maybe they want to kill more Israelis. For a peaceful person, dealing with someone who wants to fight can be so, so confusing. It's like you're dealing with a separate species. But there are places all over the planet, not just the Middle East, all over the planet where the grudges run so deep. I'll tell you something. There is a person, you know, I was born in Steubenville, Ohio. I grew up until I was 10 years old in Toronto, Ohio. And then at 10, my parents moved us out to Montana. And that's where I grew up from there. There's a man in Toronto, Ohio, who did my father wrong. Terribly, terribly wrong. Well, one of those well-known things, did my father terribly wrong. Now, this is a human being. If I ever met him, I don't even remember it. I was so young. So let's just call it, I've never met this human being. I wouldn't walk across the street to give this guy a bottle of water. Because in a business fashion, this is a business thing, business wronging then done. In a business fashion, he had done my father wrong. Now, what if he'd killed my father? How long would I hold that grudge? What kind of money would it take to talk me out of despising that man? What if he'd kill my grandfather too? My sister? There are these places around the world that people who want peace can never fully understand. And it's not because they're naive. Donald Trump is the furthest thing in the world from naive. It's because there are just people who want to fight and they don't see everything as a potential deal, a business deal. They just don't see the world that way. And look, not to mention the domestic people we have still pushing for this.
It's about a religious agenda. Why do they do what they do? Religious, fanatical beliefs, a master religion for the world. And if you don't believe that, you have missed a lot. That's what they want. And the only way they're not going to get there is for somebody to stop them. What did Hitler want? To take over the entire world.
That's Lindsey Graham undermining Donald Trump's foreign policy on the Senate floor. I wonder if Trump's going to rescind that endorsement. Let's move off. Let's talk briefly about the Supreme Court and your pain. The pain that makes you wince when you think about getting out of bed in the morning. What is it? What is it on you that hurts? Not you stubbed your toe hurt. That's not what I'm talking about. The nagging daily pain that has it. You don't golf anymore because it hurts. Showing up, working construction, it hurts. Your knee hurts, your elbow. What is it? Why don't you try to fix it? Not ignore it. That doesn't work. Not masking it. That's terrible for you. attack the root of the problem. That would be the inflammation. And that's what Relief Factor will help you with. They will help, it will help your body, your body's natural response. And Relief Factor itself is 100% drug-free. It's a daily supplement. That inflammation, you need to get to the root of it. There's a reason almost everyone who orders Relief Factor calls and orders more. 1-800, the number 4-RELIEF, or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. All right, so I know you're frustrated with the courts and the judges. Let's just get you updated in case you're unaware. Supreme Court came out and said, yeah, you can deport illegals to countries that aren't of their home origin. And now we had this other judge step up and say, no, his name is Brian Murphy. He's out of Massachusetts. This other judge stepped up and said, well, I don't care what the Supreme Court said. He used legal technicalities that I'm not going to get into to basically say, well, no, I can still stop it. And then the Supreme Court had to step back in today. And the specific story is not important. What is important is to understand why we are where we are, and more importantly, what we're looking at going forward. Now, I want to kind of do this backwards. I want to go forward first, because I asked the question of somebody who would know. I asked him, I said, all these legal hurdles, every time Trump tries to deport somebody here, or deport this illegal, or deport this terrorist, or deport that, there's always a judge that steps in and stops it. I know you're frustrated. I'm frustrated. But these legal hurdles, are we facing 4 years of this? Or is there going to be some final Supreme Court ruling or rulings or something? Is there going to be a final hurdle we can cross at some point in time and we'll finally get past all this and it's deportation time for everybody, baby? And it was Bill Jacobson I was talking to, by the way. And Bill just told me, I mean, look, not what you want to hear, not what I wanted to hear, but he told me the truth. He said, look, Jesse, the truth is the Biden administration brought in as many illegals as they could for 4 years. These illegals, on top of all the other things they do that the communists love, they tend to congregate in blue areas for understandable reasons. If you're an illegal in this country, you're going to be much more welcomed in L.A. than in rural Texas. So you're going to go to L.A. So they congregate in the blue areas, and they're counted in the census. So the illegals keep Democrats in power. We don't know how many seats in the United States House of Representatives Democrats have that they wouldn't have if not for illegal immigration, but we know there is a number. There are some Democrats currently in the House that would not be there if illegals were not counted in the census. And just to explain, in case you're confused by that, they count the illegals in the census. And so Democrats who would be redistricted out, like their district would disappear, their House district would disappear, instead it stays because they're counting the illegals. Make sense? Okay, anyway. So they keep Democrats in power. And remember, I've told you before, I've had people who would know in California, they've told me that they believe California might go red if not for illegals. I don't know that I'm going to go that far. That's not me saying it, but I've had sharp people tell me that. Illegals are keeping Democrats afloat in this country. Democrats know this. They brought in as many as they could for 4 years. But then, on top of what they've done for 4 years, they kind of put an exclamation point on what they've done at the end. And they did a lot of this at the end. They started packing every single judicial spot they possibly could at the very end to ensure, specifically so they could ensure the illegals they brought into America can stay in America. The judges are there. And remember, like we talked about so many times before, they are communists first. not judges first, not Boy Scout leader, not news anchor, not general. A communist is always a communist first. It is his religion. There is nothing higher for him. The judges the Biden administration put on the bench believe their job is to stop any effort to deport the foreign barbarians Democrats brought into the country on purpose. I know that is so aggravating and sick and evil. It probably has you dry heaving right now. It has me dry heaving as well. But that's how it is. That's how it is. So I didn't mean, look, I'm going to move on and talk about some emails because I don't have good news to tell you here. What the Supreme Court ruled today was good. We are going to get good rulings, and we are potentially facing 4 years of this because for an American communist, Democrats, they believe the presence of these illegals is their only route to power, and they will cling to them like grim death. And so when one of these illegals does something terrible, they rape and kill some American girl or something, you, because you're a normal person, are so mortified. You would think, well, even a Democrat is mortified by this. Surely this will be the final straw, right? But it's never the final straw. They never change because we're dealing with demons. We're dealing with evil people who would watch a million people die in front of them and not shed a single tear if it meant they got to stay in power. That's how unbelievably evil these people have become. And that's what we're up against. That's the fight. Let's do a bunch of these emails, shall we, Jesse? The master of regime change in history has got to be Genghis Khan. He took out all the leaders and replaced them with the most downtrodden of the conquered population. They were loyal and made real changes. Look, I've had some Genghis Khan emails when we've been talking a lot about regime change because he is the one who... I was about to say did it the right way, but I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure that's how you should put what Genghis Khan did. But, you know, it's actually a great way to explain it. Genghis Khan didn't share the morality of other parts of the planet. And so very similar to what we talked about in the opening of the show, there were so many societies the Mongols would conquer or approach, and they would very clearly not understand who and what they were dealing with. And that lack of understanding doomed so many of those societies. Genghis Khan didn't care about killing people. He had no moral reservations about killing everyone. It's not that he didn't have a moral reservation about killing a person. He would just simply kill everyone. And they believed in their society that was good politics. So if you approached a city and you wanted to take the city, it's a very simple equation, a very cold, clinical, simple equation for a Mongol. You will submit to the Khan. And by the way, submitting to the Khans was not that bad. They were not this terrible draconian society to people who were under them. Treated them pretty well, actually. But the only offer on the table was, you got two choices. You can submit to the Khan or everyone will die. And the ones who defied him, he killed everybody. And then sent word out that he had killed everybody. He believed that gave him power the next time he approached a city. So when it comes to regime change, yeah, he did it successfully. But I don't think we want that. Or maybe you do. Maybe you view all conquest as good. There are different ways of thinking about conquest, the conquest of a nation or a city. There are some people, a lot of people, who believe all conquest is inherently evil. I would argue that's an extreme position, but there are a lot of people who believe that. There are a lot of people who believe that the old might makes right philosophy, that all conquest is good. You want it? You better fight for it. You want to keep it? You better fight for it. Too bad, so sad. In case you're wondering where I fall, I think there's a lot of gray area there. I think some conquest is fine. I think some conquest is evil. I think it's a gray area. Anyway, let's move on through some other stuff. Before we do that, let me get something in your hands that will keep you alive. Did you know that Byrna has already saved lives of my listeners? Did you know that? BYRNA, the Byrna launcher. It's compact. Their compact launcher is the size of a smartphone. So we're talking, it's in your pocket. It's in your little purse, ladies. It shoots tear gas balls. And you know what one of the best parts about this is? You don't even have to be that accurate. You can shoot the ground in front of them. It's debilitating. But because it's non-lethal, because nobody dies, it's legal in all 50 states. Are you going to go through life hoping for the best? Or are you going to make sure you and your loved ones are ready to stop a bad man? Go to Byrna.com, BYRNA. You can even go try one at a local retail store. These things are incredible. Byrna.com. We'll be back.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Tuesday. We are going to do a huge batch of emails tonight. I want to address the media again because CNN is in the news for all the most wonderful reasons. Firings from the Free Beacon. CNN, the Sith draws near. CNN's overpaid talent brace for deep cuts amid corporate shakeup. America is turning, they're turning off the news. CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, they pressed too hard. They actually went too far left, and America's turning off the news to the point that people were getting fired. And I thought about that when I heard Aaron Burnett on CNN say this.
I remember, Dan, at one point being in Tehran years ago, and they're chanting death to America all around me, even as I say, oh, I'm an American reporting for CNN, and they were happy to speak to me. So that those two sort of jarring realities of the chant and yet the friendliness have existed together.
Obviously, that's a ridiculous thing to say, but why is it? Why is it Democrats and their media allies, what is it they find so appealing about the people who hate us? Wherever those people are found, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be Iran. Whenever they find a foreign country who hates America, that entity, whatever it is, a country, a group, whatever it is, will be defended in some way by the American media. Do you remember when the American military, I think it was Delta Force, but it might have been SEAL Team 6. I don't remember. When we took out one of the heads of ISIS. Do you remember the headline from the Washington Post that the Washington Post got so much guff over, they finally deleted it? When they announced that he had been killed, there was no reference to ISIS, no reference to terror, no reference to any of those things. He was described in the headline by the Washington Post as being, and I quote, an austere religious scholar. They took a vicious, murderous piece of trash and called him an austere religious scholar. Keep in mind, if memory serves me, this man gathered his wife and children with him and blew them all up as our troops approached. And the Washington Post looked at that man and thought to themselves, that's somebody we should probably defend. Why? Because they share a common enemy. American Democrats have an affinity for America haters because they share a common enemy. America. That's why. And that's why when they get elected, they start spitting in the face of our allies, and they're almost—it's almost like they're friends with our enemies. Well, they are friends with our enemies. Let's do some emails, Jesse. Longtime listener here. I recently heard you refer to something being decimated. Lefties continuously misuse words, and the throngs gave a new definition for decimate in recent years. You being a Roman history guy, could you tell your audience what the word originally means in the Roman army context? I would love to hear you put it into words. Your history telling is wonderful listening. Okay, so Words, when they are misused for long enough, they will just simply be misused forever, because the word in its misuse gets kind of ingrained in the minds of people. We love to use the word decimation. They were decimated, completely decimated, and we use it as if wiped out completely. But I've explained this before on the show. That's not what decimation means. Decimation, it's a Latin term. It comes from a Latin term, basically meaning a tenth. In the Roman army, this was rarely used. I should stress this. When I say in the Roman army, remember, the Roman Empire lasted 1,000 years plus. And there were ups and downs and ebbs and flows and this and that. So the Roman Empire, we tend to, in our mind, I do this too, we shrink it down to a palatable amount of time. But on occasion, the Roman army would practice decimation. In fact, Crassus, when he was putting down the Spartacus rebellion, remember Spartacus's rebellion, the slaves, the gladiators rising up, that was the third slave rebellion. They were known as the servile wars, the slave rebellions. Well, Crassus, this rich, powerful man in Rome, was one of the generals put in charge of that. And it was considered an unbelievable humiliation to lose to a bunch of slaves. You're this professional Roman army. How in the world could you lose to a bunch of slaves? Crassus practiced it, and it was rare, and it was controversial when he did it. But it's this, and it's just the most brutal thing in the world. If a unit screws up big time, we're talking shows cowardice, disobeys an order, or even maybe just flat out fails, doesn't get the job done, you would draw lots. You'd draw straws. I'll say draw straws. So it's random. But units were designed as 10-man increments, very similar to how most militaries are set up today. 10-man increments. You draw straws. Whatever guy gets the short straw, he then will be beaten to death by the other 9 men in his unit. And let me just tell you, for me, it was a mortar section. That was our 10-man section. It was a little more than that, but our 10-man section was a mortar section. When you are in the military like that, those people become your family. You live with them. You argue with them. You laugh with them. You party with them. You are with them all the time. They become your family. I still speak to almost everybody in my mortar section to this day. I've been out for 20 friggin' years. I'm an old man now. Think what that would do to a unit to have to beat one of their own to death. I personally, look, there are some brutal practices from the past I can see being effective. I wouldn't want to participate, but I could see being effective. I personally think the Romans rarely use this because I just don't see how that could be an effective way. If you made me do that to one of my buddies, if you were a commander who made me do that to one of my buddies, I'd plan on killing you. I'd just put it that way. I'd kill you. That's the way that'd go. Anyway, let's talk about billionaire donors cutting off Democrats. That's fun. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.